Support comes from the Janis Hawkins Cultural Arts Park on the main campus of Troy University. Featuring the International Arts Center, the Fred Nall Hollis Museum, and the Hua Baoju Gallery. More information at troy.edu/artspark.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. On Saturday, the Troy University Rosa Parks Museum in downtown Montgomery will celebrate Juneteenth, the oldest known commemoration of the end of slavery in the United States. The national Juneteenth holiday is Monday, but the Rosa Parks Museum is hosting a block party tomorrow, to which everyone is invited. Donna Beisel has a preview from the museum. Donna Beisel, so great to have you with us here at Troy Public Radio as Director of Operations for the Troy University Rosa Parks Museum.
Thank you for having me.
Donna, what is coming up this Saturday?
So this Saturday, June 17th, from 1 until 5, the museum will host our 8th annual Juneteenth celebration here at the Rosa Parks Museum in downtown Montgomery. I think it will be our 5th big street festival. We'll have our street celebration honoring Juneteenth, and we'll have live music throughout the day, you know, street vendors with food, information, services, merchandise. And then we have a kids area in our children's wing parking lot that'll have bouncy house and glitter tattoos for the kids and lots of fun and games for them to keep them occupied. And then we'll have arts and crafts as well, and free admission of the museum.
The arts are a component of the Juneteenth celebration at the Rosa Parks Museum.
Yeah, from one intersection to the next. And we have two huge 40 by 100-foot tents in the middle of the street, and all of our vendors are under that. And then the stage is kind of directly in front of the museum where the live music is. And then we have a DJ to play in between those acts and just keep everybody engaged, enjoying, and bringing the community together.
What were you after with the art contest in the context of the Juneteenth historical happening?
Those winners were announced to them yesterday. We're going to publicly recognize them, and visitors will certainly have an opportunity to come view the student artwork, and we'll give out those prizes. Well, we wanted to get kids more involved with what Juneteenth means instead of just showing up here and having a good time, which was great. But the goal of the project was to create a piece of art encompassing what Juneteenth stands for. And so we had students from across the river region submit their art, and it really showcases the bright talent that we have here in the Montgomery area and their interpretation of what Juneteenth means, what freedom means, and how to, I guess, inspire people to try to continue in that vein of freedom for all people.
And going back into 20th century history, Donna, don't you have a city bus on site for that occasion?
We do. So the city of Montgomery, the Montgomery Area Transit Systems, they have a 1950s restored city bus that is here on site. Visitors can board that and kind of go back in time and see what it would have been like to be Rosa Parks and other citizens at the time and see where she sat. We also are fortunate to work with the Freedom Rides Museum, and they will have their 1960s Greyhound bus that was used in the Freedom Rides. And so that will also be on site. So visitors will get a sense of local transportation in the 50s and then how that inspired interstate travel on buses in the 60s. And so we're excited to have both of those buses on site.
And on Saturday, will the people who are in attendance be able to go into the Rosa Parks Museum as well as the children's wing and see this 20th century history?
Yes, so we have free admission all day. Again, it's from 11 to 5, so our hours of operation are altered a little bit. They just come, go in, but it is totally free. You know, if they want to buy anything from the vendors, of course, that costs money. But the event itself and the admission to the museum are all totally free of charge.
Donna, my favorite aspect of both facilities in the children's wing is the time travel bus. That is really where you can experience that bus ride.
Yeah. You know, we found that a lot of kids, they come here and they don't really have a concept of segregation and why people like Rosa Parks and Dr. King and others were fighting for equality. And so it gives them that background context of how this system of Jim Crow segregation got started and was perpetuated for so long. And so it gives them that background of why people needed to stand up and say, no, this isn't right. This isn't fair. This isn't just. And try to work towards changing that system and then hopefully inspire them to keep being those agents of change today.
Let's drop back in history a little bit further back than the 20th century and talk about how Juneteenth came about. Can you give us that story?
Sure. So most people who are not history nerds, I guess, think that slavery ended with the Emancipation Proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation technically freed slaves in those Southern Confederate states. And since they were not technically part of the United States of America at that time, that didn't really apply to them. I mean, they could do whatever they wanted without federal control. And so then finally, as the Civil War was ending in 1865, the Union troops were going throughout the South enforcing the United States laws. The last kind of holdout of slavery in the United States was in Galveston, Texas. And so finally, on June 19th of 1865, that's when those Northern troops reached Galveston and let those enslaved people know that they were free. That was the last little stronghold of that form of slavery where they were freed. And then that is why we now celebrate Juneteenth. And then I'm sure all your listeners know a couple of years ago, President Biden made Juneteenth a national holiday.
Texas was the first state to make Juneteenth a holiday, and I believe they did that around 1980.
Yeah.
And another bit of irony, which I'm sure you're aware of, Juneteenth, actually the Emancipation Proclamation, which was issued by President Lincoln January 1st, 1863, the news didn't reach Texas till a couple of years later.
Right. Of course, the slave owners, they may have gotten word, but they certainly were not going to just release their enslaved people until those Northern troops came in and started enforcing it.
How does the Rosa Parks Museum fit into this story?
Well, obviously, with Mrs. Parks and so many others of the Montgomery bus boycott, which is what our focus on is here, they were fighting for freedom almost 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation and Juneteenth started. And still fighting for freedom for all citizens, not just those of a particular color or particular background. We try to continue her legacy today of fighting for equality, fighting for equity, and freedom for all people, regardless of your background or little pigeonhole someone wants to put you in.
About how many people visit the Rosa Parks Museum each year?
Before COVID, it was around 80,000, and then we've slowly started coming back. So last year, we were about 40,000, and this year, we're probably going to reach around 60,000. So we're making our way back.
Is there anything else you want to share before the big day on Saturday?
Well, a couple of other special events that we have going on. We will have Pastor Levi Galliard, who will be doing a program in our auditorium at 1 o'clock, which is Catching the Think Big Spirit. And he works with a lot of young people, trying to empower them, again, to put down weapons, try to resolve conflicts peacefully through nonviolent means, and empower them to really take pride in their lives and their communities and be forces of positive change in those communities. That's from 1 to 4 on Saturday. And then we will also have Walter Patton, who will be giving some information on mortgages and how to become a homeowner, which in the African-American community, they are the lowest demographic of home ownership. And so he's really wanting to empower all citizens of how to become homeowners. And there are certain programs in place right now from the federal government that they can take advantage of. And that will probably be around 1 o'clock.
So how is the Rosa Parks Museum listed on social media sites?
So on Instagram and Twitter, we are at Rosa Parks Museum. On Facebook, we are the Troy University's Rosa Parks Museum.
Donna, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Donna Beisel, Director of Operations at the Troy University Rosa Parks Museum, located in downtown Montgomery. The museum is celebrating Juneteenth with a block party tomorrow, with activities for both children and adults, and everyone is welcome. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.